I had to call 911 this morning, and it was the first time ever I had to call 911.
Wow, what happened?
I was driving to work, and on the side of the highway, there was a car, and the entire thing just engulfed in flames, like within a matter of like the 6 seconds as I was driving 70 miles per hour down the highway.
Okay, did you see somebody outside of the car or whatever?
No, I don't know what happened. I don't have a follow-up on what went down. I looked to see if somebody was there. I didn't see anyone. I just saw the car engulf in flames, and I just called 911. And like I was like stuttering because I was so shocked. I've never had to do it before for real.
Sure.
And I was like, hi. I'm like, I'm driving. I'm like, I'm by this exit. And they're like, car on fire. We've already gotten two calls. I'm like, how is that possible? I literally saw it go up. Like, I guess everybody just was so fast to call 911.
Yeah.
So I just said, okay, thank you. And then I hung up and that was it.
Well, I mean, so what is it that you wanted from them? Did you want like a call back? Do you want to be updated on the story?
No.
Do you feel like once it is that you've involved yourself to some degree that, you know, you've taken this on?
Well, no. What I realized that I thought was really interesting was I've never had to call 911 before. Like,
yeah,
there's been emergency situations, but it's never where I'm the one that has to call 911 and
sure,
that I pick up the phone and actually dial it. Did you ever have to call 911 for something for real?
I mean, I've called 911 plenty of times. I can't remember, you know, what we would call a real emergency. I think I've had one or two people on the ground before where you've called 911. I've certainly seen things on the road before, like what you saw with an accident or whatever and called the police, or somebody even driving extremely dangerously. It's funny. You remember the time where you call when you're a kid for the first time and hang up and they show up at your house?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that time. But, you know, I think that, you know, shock has a way of locking the other instances out. Plus, you know, not for nothing. Let's be real here. If there's a group of people around you and some sort of emergency befalls one person and somebody has to call 911, you're the lazy one if you're calling.
What?
There's something else you could have done.
Well,
put pressure on the wound.
Well,
find some gauze. Go get a hot towel. Anything. Carry the person.
I'm CPR certified, right?
Okay.
Which if you're having an issue, a health issue, I promise you I'm not the person you want there.
Right.
But I am CPR and AED certified. And the first thing you're supposed to do,
yeah,
is call 911 before you even approach and offer to help or anything like that. Actually, the first thing you say is, are you okay? And then if they don't respond, you immediately,
right,
call 911.
But I mean, again, if it's you, usually there's somebody standing right next to you. And mm-hmm, you could say, you call 911 and you start, you know, staying alive on their,
right,
chest.
Yes.
And then, you know, we're kind of doing it at the same time.
Right. Well, yeah. My sister called 911 when she was little, and,
yeah,
they showed up, and she called because my brother wasn't letting her watch the cartoons that she wanted to watch. And they showed up, and I was hoping they were going to arrest my brother for not letting her watch the cartoons she wanted. They didn't.
No.
No.
And who got in the most trouble that day?
Well, really nobody. She was so little, and like my mom had no idea that it had happened. Like, she just called, calmly explained the situation, and then hung up the phone.
Right.
And then said it. She was like, yeah, I called 911 because like Joe wouldn't let me watch whatever it was, DuckTales or whatever it was that she wanted to watch.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if she wasn't six, she would have known she needed a corroborating witness, mm-hmm, and then she could have called the attorney general.
Right. Reported to them.
Affected an arrest that way.
Yep. Does sleeping in a separate bed from your partner actually save your relationship? Well, experts aren't against it. Actually, many say it's a great idea. And if you missed it on Friday, Raven's wife, Alicia, was on the air with us, and she said this.
You know, and I'm super exhausted because, like, I don't know what he's doing. He's sleeping weird, and he's, like, taking up the whole bed. And I wake up in the middle of the night when I roll over, and he's, like, mouth breathing in my face. He's, like, on my pillow. I don't know what's going on. I'm so tired.
So, is you know what? Is this what happens after 10 years of marriage? There's no going back?
This is why my great-grandparents had separate bedrooms. I never understood it. I thought it meant they weren't in love anymore, but they were so in love, and that's why they had separate bedrooms.
Wait a minute. Did you just open the door for me to move out?
It doesn't sound terrible.
We have empty rooms, and I will sleep virtually anywhere.
I mean, why don't you guys try it? So you did over the weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What? I'm so excited to hear about it.
Well, I slept like a baby, you know. I mean, even though the bed in the other room is terrible, I gave her the bedroom, of course. You know, that's where the dog's beds are, too, and all that stuff. So I just didn't want to discombobulate everybody. And I even went up there for a minute, and then I went down the hall after. So, I you know, I did all the things. You know what I mean?
And when you, so, all right. So you spoke with your wife, Alicia, mm-hmm, about how it went.
Yeah, this is after waking up after 2 days
said
of it.
Yeah.
So what do you think so far about waking up in separate rooms? I think sleeping was kind of fantastic. Mm. I slept like a starfish.
What does a starfish sleep like?
Like this.
Just like with their arms straight out and their legs straight out?
Everything.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
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 But it was kind of sad. Kind of sad waking up by yourself.
What about the dogs? Were the dogs okay?
Oh, I mean, the dogs were great. You're jealous because they don't want to go with you.
Wait, were you sad that the dogs chose her over you?
Well, the bed that I was sleeping in is like super high for some reason. It's like way tall. It's like a princess bed that we had for my grandmother or something like that. So it's really tall and the dog can't jump off of that. So it's just, he would go with me. But
do you really believe that that's the reason why the dogs chose Alicia over you?
No, the dog would go with me. Barkley would always go with his dad. Always.
Except if the bed is too tall and you can't just pick him up and put it on it.
You know what I paid for his legs?
Okay. You think he knows how much your credit card bills are?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was a lot. He doesn't want to do it again.
Whatever you got to tell yourself.
Listen, this isn't permanent. You know, it sounded like a great idea, but I think you should come back.
What if I decide while you're gone this week that I love sleeping solo?
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's not happening.
I mean, she seems pretty adamant about it.
I told you, no matter what she said on Friday, there was no way that she would go for this permanently. And I was right.
But would you go for it permanently if you had the choice?
Well, if I say yes, do I get myself in trouble now?
Probably. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I mean, a few nights anyways. I mean, we could visit after.
I think we're still too young. Maybe when we're 70.
Would it make a difference if I visited you more often?
No.
So the visits isn't actually what she's after.
No, no, no. She could care less about that. She cares about sleeping soundly and waking up refreshed, and I don't blame her one bit.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Start your week off by getting things off your chest. What do people do that just drives you crazy? 1-800-330-9999. You just fill in the blank. If you blank, that is all I need to know about you.
Alyssa, what's up?
If you wear the same clothes that you wore the day before, that's all I need to know about you.
Are there exceptions?
Oh my gosh, I wore the jeans I have on right now. Yeah. I've worn the last 3 days in a row to work.
Okay, I mean, but jeans I feel like are different anyways. Denim is denim, right? I mean, if you're wearing like the exact same outfit, what are the exceptions? Somebody went into labor. You spent the night at the hospital in the lobby, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You just got out of jail.
Yeah, okay.
What else?
You're lazy.
No, I mean, that's not acceptable. The other two, they make sense.
I will say that if I like an outfit that I'm wearing on Sunday, 9 times out of 10, I'll wear it to work on Monday.
Really?
If nobody saw me, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not dirty and stains, like, I'll wear the exact same outfit the next. I mean, I'll change my moutons, obviously, and shower. But I'll put that outfit right back on.
Perfectly acceptable if you were volunteering on a telethon the last 24 hours. Were you doing that with your outfit last Sunday?
If it's a cute shirt and, like, I'm wearing it again.
Hey, Lisa, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
If there are no left turn signs absolutely everywhere, and you're trying to make a left turn holding up traffic, that's all I need to know about you.
I love the person who thinks they're special, even though they're in the wrong lane, and they're clearly in the wrong spot, and there's everybody building up. Like, just take the turn that you committed to and then turn around down the street. That's what I do. Am I a fool?
Yeah, I did this by accident the other day. I'm even embarrassed to say it. I didn't realize that I couldn't make a left turn. I'm so embarrassed by it. And a guy was pulling in the opposite direction, and he rolled down his window, and he wagged his finger at me. And as an adult, like, when somebody wags their finger at you, like the...
Just the pointer finger, yeah. Not even the middle finger.
No, the pointer finger.
Yes.
Like yelling at me as if I was a child.
Scolded you.
And it was warranted.
Yeah.
Like, what an idiot I am.
Right.
Like, I don't see the sign that's right in front of my face. It was just like, oh, gosh, I felt so bad about it.
Hey, Cindy, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, I have a big sign on my door. No soliciting. You can't miss it. Yet, people ring my doorbell.
I once had an argument with a solicitor in front of my house that I simply asked to walk away. And they were so argumentative about the fact that I didn't want to talk to them that it turned into like a full-blown thing. Like, they were standing on the edge of my property and they were like, well, you can't do anything if I'm over here. And I'm like, is this how you want to live your life? How about you just move on with your day, man?
They're very aggressive with literature, putting it on your doorknob and mailbox.
It's been a few weeks back to school, and if you're anything like me, you have no idea what to put in the lunchbox. It's like, how many mini muffins can I put in there at this point, right? Chef Plum from the Food Network. Plum, you've got three girls. You've had to deal with school lunches for many, many years.
I feel like it goes on my entire life. I will be making lunches or dealing with lunches or talking about things to buy to put in lunches for the rest of my life.
You know, it's funny. I mean, you're a professional, and to hear you say that, I think for other parents, it's just intimidating, right? Is that for everybody?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that we do at my house that it was worked out pretty well, my oldest daughters are and my twins are in sophomores in high school now. They make their own lunch.
Yeah.
And I think it's really helpful because then they make good choices, too, which is part of it. But like, you know, they take things that they'll actually eat. So it's not like you're packing a lunch that they won't eat at all. So I think one of the things that we tried really hard to do was to make lunches with them when they were younger. So they got in the habit of making it. So they would find things that they like and they would like contribute to it. So now they make what they want. I think it's important. I think the tough part is thinking about it. You think about yourself. You want somebody else making you lunch and you don't get any input? No. Have the kids give input. I think it's important.
You know, that's eye-opening because I can remember being a kid and I was just like, if you tried to have input half the time, they'd be like, no. Yeah. Right? They'd be like, shush, you know, that kind of thing. But I feel like the personalization of lunches might have been kind of in its infancy at that point, right? Like you had a few options. There was a fruit product. There was going to be some sort of sandwich product.
The peanut butter and jelly, the lukewarm bologna sandwich by the time you eat it.
And nobody cared about refrigeration.
Not at all.
No. Nobody cared about it at all.
Not at all. Well, you can go to places like Target and any place now. And they have that. It's almost like the style of a bento box that you get from a Japanese restaurant. And we like to use those as well. So we'll take those bento boxes and you put different compartments of things in there. So it keeps things separate. But then it also allows them to add things into their compartments as well. I'm a big fan of having them contribute to it because I think when they contribute to it, they'll want to eat more.
Okay, so what are some things that we can put in these compartments? Because I am at a loss. My older one, too, she packs her own at this point. But the little one, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, you see all those things in the store, like you mentioned, those mini muffins and things like that. And listen, I don't want to sit here and sound like a martyr and be like, no, our kids need to eat vegetables. Listen, any of those things are great. But what the key thing you can do when you have those little boxes is use those compartments. Instead of putting a whole bag of mini muffins, put one in there. You know, so it's there so they can have it as a treat. Then I add a little bit of course, raw vegetables, I think is really, really important. Now, let's say you don't want to do any of that stuff, right? I'm bringing back the old school soup container. So what we do is I take those containers, you know, a thermos, right? And I run hot tap water in to start to keep it nice and warm. Just think about it. You put something hot in there and it's cold when you put it in, it cools off your hot thing immediately. So get it hot first by running hot tap water inside of it. Then a great soup is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have for a lunch. Now, I think a lot of days when I was younger and definitely when Raven was younger, the kids would make fun of you for eating a soup like that. But nowadays, it's so much well more accepted. My kids love it.
Oh, soup is hip.
Yeah.
Soup used to be bullied.
Right.
Oh, man, if you had soup, that was it. You were probably going to be in a locker by third period.
100%. And the other one that's easy to do with this, and for my kids, they love it. You know, we'll have a little box with some, you know, some vegetables and maybe some sort of nuts for a snack or something like that. But then in that soup box, I'll break up, like, you know, ramen noodles into it. And pour hot water in it. And so by the time they go to eat it, that it's absorbed all that moisture and all that liquid. And it's just like having noodles out of the hot thermos.
That I could sign off on. That sounds delicious.
Mm. It's not too hard. You know, think about it. Listen, have the kids contribute to it. And I think they'll eat a lot better.
Chef Plum, you can find him online at chefplum.com. Ever since we got this call, I can't stop seeing them. I see them absolutely everywhere. So last week, this happened. Barbara, that's all I need to know about you.
If you toss your plastic dental picks out on the street or at work or wherever you are, that's all I need to know about you.
Doesn't it feel like you randomly see them in the places that don't make any sense whatsoever?
The thing is, the people that dig those things, though, they're like addicted to them. They like love those things. So they got them with them all over the place.
Well, love them and put them in your pocket until you see a garbage pail. I'm sick of looking at them. I've gotten to a point where I take pictures of them and I send them to my boyfriend because I go, see, here's another one that's in a stairwell or anywhere. Yes. I hate it.
And now I see them everywhere. I see those dental plastic picks everywhere on the floor, and I don't understand what is happening about it.
I'm telling you, it's a real thing. People, so it's like everybody had an uncle or a cousin or somebody that used to walk around with a toothpick in their mouth.
My dad.
All this is, so there you go. Yep. So your father. So it's like an addiction, right? Instead of, it's the same thing as like, it's an oral fixation. Instead of, you know, smoking a cigarette or a cigar or something like that, or vaping nowadays, they carry these things and they just have pristine teeth. So they're always picking their gums. But you know who doesn't like it? Seagulls. you know, birds and stuff like that.
How about just normal people don't like it?
Yeah, I don't like to see the trash either.
But it's one thing if you have an oral fixation and like you carry it around in your mouth, which to me still seems strange because it's got like that little piece of string on the end.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you just keep that in your mouth? I don't know. But the fact that it's littered all over the floor, I was walking down like a side street that, you know, it was like a downtown area. So it had all the stores and the restaurants lined up. And one of the stores had put out like a dog bowl of water. And I was like, oh, well, like, that's cute. And then I like walked by it and I look and there was one of those plastic dental picks right next to it. And I go, ew, like what? Like this poor dog, like these random dogs are so excited to go get water and they got to go next to your nasty dental pick on the floor. Like there's a garbage 6 feet away. You couldn't throw it in the garbage.
It's disgusting. And it's highly unlikely that it was the dog's pick. They usually don't care for, you know, to dental work.
Do dogs have dental floss? No, right?
No, not floss, but they do have toothbrushes and toothpaste. You know that I brush my dog's teeth.
Yeah.
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 It's a real thing.
So I took a picture of it and I figured, you know what? We should make this a movement. We should make this a movement to shame the people that do this. It's the only way to make it right. You know, it doesn't sound nice, but it's, I mean, sometimes you just got to do things to get things done.
Flossing's typically been something that people are proud to do. Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, like, you know, there's two ways, right? There's like, you know, flossing, like, oh, I got my gear, I got my jewelry, all that stuff. And then there's flossing in your bathroom, which is also acceptable. This is not acceptable.
Now, if you litter your plastic dental pick, it's a real problem. So if you see one on the floor littered somewhere, here's what we're asking you to do. Snap a picture of it, post it on social media, tag us at Anna and Raven, and then use the hashtag floss shame. Again, that's hashtag floss shame. And let's see how many of these are really out there littering our world.
Oh, they're all over the place.
Yeah. Why is it trending? Top news stories and trending and why. Corgis, all about the Queen's four dogs. She had two corgis and she had two other mixed breed dogs. And she's had corgis since she was a little tiny girl. She's had over 30 dogs in her lifetime.
It's a long time.
Right. So Dr. Roger Mumford is an animal psychologist and he worked with the Queen and her dogs through the years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked who's going to take care of the dogs now that she's gone. Here's what he said.
Prince Charles may not be the ultimate destination for these dogs, but look, she has a big extended family and all of the royals are really mad about animals, mad about dogs. So I'm absolutely certain that they'll find a happy home.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Did this guy just say that Prince Charles, King Charles, hates dogs? Is that what he said?
He said that he loves dogs, but he's not going to take those dogs. And all the media reports are saying that Prince Andrew and Sarah are going to take the dogs. And I was like, no! No, they don't get the dogs. Wait,
if Andrew gets the dogs, we are never going to see those dogs again.
Well, here's
because we are not going to see him again.
Well, right.
That is over.
When I first read all these headlines, and I'm like, no, Prince Andrew does not. Like, he's got his own problems. Like, he can't take over the dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what they're saying, I guess Sarah had a really close relationship with the dogs.
She gave them some of the dogs.
Yeah,
I guess
they had, like, they shared the common bond. So, and they still live together, not like quote unquote together, even though they divorced in 1996.
No, I know. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't understand how that works. I figure like they're just so rich and the mansions are just so big that they just never see each other in the same house. I don't know.
Sounds pretty great, right? You take the west side of the castle.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So I guess let's not even say Andrew. Let's remove him from the conversation. Sarah is going to take the two younger corgis named Muick and Sandy, and there's no report yet who's going to take the older ones, Candy and Lisa, Lissy. Okay. And I was like, wait a minute, you can't separate the dogs. Everybody knows you can't do that.
No, keep them all together. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They asked the same psychologist on whether the dogs will miss the Queen based on his professional opinion.
Yeah.
When she's been a busy working woman traveling the world, so inevitably other people have had to step in and look after her dogs. So they will be easily transferring affections and attention to others.
What?
I mean, come on, man. Tell us what we want to hear. First and foremost, don't tell us that the king hates dogs and then follow it up with the dogs aren't going to miss the queen at all.
I mean, doesn't
come
even
on.
Make sense.
I mean, if we're practical people speaking about that, I mean, we understand that that might be true, but we don't want to hear that. Give us the fairy tale. Of course.
Yeah, of course.
They're not eating. They're very upset.
I was thinking about it. I'm like, if my dog Lila passed away.
Yeah.
Not my dog, Lila. If I passed away, would Lila care?
Yeah.
And I was like, Lila would care if I died, but she definitely would not care if Paul, my husband, died. And I was, and I like wanted to text him and be like, does it upset you that Lila wouldn't care if you died? And then I was like, you know what? Why even open those can of worms?
Right? Yeah, I mean, the thought process of would she even care? I mean, she might care in a good way. Like, she'd be like, this is great.
Oh, she'd be so happy he's gone. He'd be like, you mean I don't got to share these girls with that guy anymore? So how hands-on was the queen with her pets?
Mm.
So she was very hands-on, took a dog for walks, picked up the poop. I'd seen her do that.
Really? So, that's surprising.
Yeah.
I mean,
news report. Headline.
The queen picked up the poop. Oh,
oh, it's amazing.
Wow, really?
She really was a woman of the people.
This week, it's a chance for the kids to beat Raven. If you want to sign up your child to challenge Raven in pop culture trivia all geared towards kids, you can head to annaandraven.com. Today's first contestant, Santia, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, you got it, Santia. Good luck.
All right.
Not really.
All right, Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you five questions for kids. That's all pop culture. All you got to do is get more right than Raven, and you're going to win this $100 Target gift card. You ready to play?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, Roblox announced that they will soon have age restrictions and try to target older kids. What is the Roblox currency called?
Robux?
Number two, an Italian politician is calling for a ban on Peppa Pig. What's Peppa Pig's little brother's name?
George.
Number three, Fortnite is one of the highest grossing games of all time. What is the first weapon that you receive in Battle Royale?
The axe.
Number four, a live-action Little Mermaid is coming next year. Who is Ariel's best friend, Fish, in The Little Mermaid?
I don't know.
That's okay, honey. Number five, a sixth cruise ship is being added to the Disney fleet called the Disney Treasure. This one's a little tricky. What's the name of Disney's private island in the Caribbean?
I don't know that either.
That's all right.
Why don't you make it up?
You did great. Let me bring Raven back in. You wave him in.
Yo.
Okay, she got 3 out of 5.
Well, 3 out of 5 is pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Roblox announced that they will soon have age restrictions and try to target older kids. What is the Roblox currency called?
Roblox cash?
No, Robux. Number two, an Italian politician is calling for a ban on Peppa Pig. What's Peppa Pig's little brother's name?
George.
That is correct.
Yes.
It's really George, but I'll give it to both of you. Number three, Fortnite is one of the highest grossing games of all time. What is the first weapon that you receive in Battle Royale?
Oh, isn't it like a wooden hammer?
No, it's a pickaxe.
Oh, come on.
Number four, a live-action Little Mermaid is coming next year. Who is Ariel's best fish friend in The Little Mermaid?
The fish friend or the lobster friend? Sebastian is the lobster. I don't know the fish's name.
Flounder.
Flounder? Oh, I did know that.
Number five, a sixth cruise ship is being added to the Disney fleet called the Disney Treasure. What is the name of Disney's private island in the Caribbean?
I don't know.
It's Castaway Cay. Oh, I like how upset you are. This is fantastic.
I'm going to study for tomorrow.
All right. You just won a $100 Target gift card.
You won?
Really?
Yes, honey. You won.
Yes. It's Santia, and I just beat Raven.
And if you want to sign up your kids to beat Raven, too, you can head to annaandraven.com.
How could I forget Flounder?
A friend of mine lost her cat, and she was very upset that Leo had passed away, almost 20 years old. So she said to have a little bit of comfort to make sure she made the right decisions at the end and everything was okay, she consulted with a pet psychic. Now, Laura Stinchfield is joining us. It wasn't you that she talked to.
I was going to say, was it Laura that told her how to handle this?
No.
Yeah, I was wondering.
But I didn't know there was such a thing as a pet psychic. What exactly do you do and how does it work?
So what I do is I talk to animals so I can hear them, so I can have a conversation with them just like I'm talking with you. What happens is it's telepathy. So conversation is being delivered over time and space through visuals in the mind, feelings in the body, and then just your thoughts and your intentions.
Laura, I have 1,000 questions. Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. When did you realize that you had this gift to talk to the animals?
I have I've been talking to them like all my life, like ever since I was little. My earliest memory is when I was like an infant and my parents were holding our little Yorkshire Terrier over my crib. And I remember looking up at her and she giving me the feeling of like, you're so small. And then I just always knew, like, as a child, just, like, what animals were thinking and feeling. I also, at the time, saw deceased people, and I thought everyone did.
So, Laura, when you talk about these images that you receive, these messages that you're receiving mm-hmm. from animals here, and it's being, like, an image, so it's not like if I go and I had this gift and I was talking to my dog, he wouldn't be like, hey man, you really need to move up my snack 15 minutes earlier because it allows me to do this or do that. It'd be more like there would just be an image of like a milk bone.
So for me, what happens is my mind transfers it from the images and the feelings and just their intention really fast in the words.
Forgive me if this is a dumb question, but like, do you see like visions of deceased animals and they're kind of following you around being like, I need you to find my owner. So
I like that, right? I mean, she saw dead people when she was little, right?
Yeah.
So when I was younger, like in my 20s and early 30s, I definitely stuff like that would happen. But I've put up like really strict boundaries and intentions on what I want in my life now. So no, that doesn't happen.
So if somebody called you and they, you know, they were upset because they had lost a pet, would you be able just to connect through their energy to the pet?
I could, but I personally like to see a picture of the pet. I like to see the eyes. The eyes are like my phone number for them.
If I have an issue and I'm trying to interpret what it is that my dog is telling me, can I call you and put my dog on the phone?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, we have to
but
do
that's
this.
Like yeah. That's like intention too, like manifesting something you want, you know? You just think about it and feel it and you connect in.
You've got the time. We are calling you back sometime in the future. I'm gonna talk to my dog.
Yeah,
you're gonna call you back.
I like it. You know, I was listening to a little bit of your shows, and I totally think like I can tell how much you love your animals. Like I bet you're doing it all the time with them.
I have witnessed Raven having conversations with his dog where he talks to Baxter or Barkley, and then he responds as if he were Baxter or Barkley in his own voice.
That's
right. He'd be like, Baxter, do you want dinner? I don't know, Dad. I don't know, Dad. I'm very hungry right now for a milk bone. And then it's the strangest thing.
You're probably nailing it. And then if you watch Baxter's like facial expressions, you might notice like when he's like, oh, jeez, you know, rolling his eyes when he knows you're making it up.
Did you hear that, Anna? I'm a pet psychic. I need a cape.
Laura Stinchfield. You can find her online at thepetpsychic.com. Thanks so much, Laura. We appreciate it. Producer John says he'll only date women that have these. Go ahead, John.
Short fingernails. I can't do the long thing. It's not even, it just skeeves me out. It just, it makes me, I'm worried that they're going to break on something. And I have fingernails for me is like a little bit of a phobia. Like anytime I break my own, that's like the last thing I want to happen. So if I'm on a date with a woman and they've got super long fingernails the entire time, I just can't keep my eyes off it. But not in the cool way.
Does it make a difference if they're fake or real? Like some people have natural, long, beautiful fingernails.
Of course.
I'll say this. If I know that they're fake, then yes, I can at least in my mind be like, okay, well, that's not real. It's not attached. But Raven, seriously, who has that conversation? Like, hi, how are you? It's so nice to meet you. I know I'm excited for tonight, too. I just wanted to ask, are those real? And I'm talking about her fingernails.
Right.
It's odd because when he mentioned this to me, that he finds women attractive that have short nails, all I could picture is producer John on Tinder and looking at the image, the picture of them, and just zooming in to her hands as much as possible and be like, oh, look at those. Those are so short. I love that.
It's tough to tell when it's that pixelated, but, you know, there's ways.
But clean and cut, right? Not like they can't be like chewing them.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. It's just as long as I feel like they're not in danger of breaking and if they're not doing the flick. Does anyone ever do the flick? My ex used to flick her fingernails. It makes that noise. Oh, my God. I hate the whole thing.
Mm. It's one of those things you find unconventionally attractive about a woman is that they have short fingernails that are neat and kept. And that's like a thing for you.
Right.
I think people are into weird things like that.
Well, people are certainly into weird things.
You have anything that you're unconventionally attracted to, Raven?
I mean, I wouldn't really say so. My wife has lovely hair. She's a gorgeous lady.
That's not unconventional.
Right.
That's not unconventional at all.
I don't think so.
Tabby wrote on our Facebook page, she likes thick, muscular arms. I also like thick, muscular arms, but I don't think that's unconventional.
Right.
Jeannie wrote, she only dates guys that are left-handed. That's weird.
That is weird.
Winner right here. I could date Jeannie. I'm left-handed.
That's definitely strange.
What up, Jeannie?
Let me click on her picture and see her nails. Hold on.
I think that most people find lots of different people attractive, right? If it's just this one strange trait in them.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Left-handed. That's a strange trait for you to be like, nope, it's got to be left-handed.
Yeah. Addison, what do you find unconventionally attractive about somebody?
I have to admit, I love my guy's natural scent. Like, I don't want him to wear a deodorant. I like it when he gets a little bit stinky.
Ew.
Just a little. You know what? I don't like a BO, but I like it when my wife is doing stuff and, like, it's hot out. And, like, I can smell the heat on her, but, like, you know, she's not stinky. But, like, I can smell. I don't know if it's dried sweat or whatever. Maybe I just like salt. Maybe I'm just, like, a wild creature that likes, like, a salt lick.
Ew.
You know, like you hang a salt lick in your backyard and a moose or a deer comes up and licks that thing. Maybe that's me. I like a little bit of salt.
Both of you nasty. Like,
I don't know. When I come in and I'm working in the yard, the dogs try and lick my ankles.
No.
They like that salty water.
I mean, it's one thing to have like the man scent. Like I get that. I like the smell of my husband, like a t-shirt. But it's another thing for straight BO, don't wear deodorant. Like, no, put your deodorant on.
What if you're at a music festival?
Everybody's got like that one weird quirk, like that thing that they find strangely attractive about somebody they're dating. But what's the unconventional thing you're attracted to? 1-800-330-9999. Crystal.
It's going to sound weird, but like those really, really pale guys, like somebody like Pete Davidson, like the more sick looking, the better.
Wow. There is something very attractive and very trendy about that look.
Is there?
Yes.
I don't understand. I mean, I would just always feel like get a little sun looks better. I don't care who you are.
No. It's like that. It's just something hot about that, like, clammy, snow white kind of look, but like on a guy.
Yeah, I remember when Courtney Love, that look was a thing, right? 1,000 years ago, heroin chic or whatever they would call it.
Okay. You know, it's funny.
And I never understood that either.
Yeah,
so.
But... I think when a guy looks tired, it's also attractive because it means that he's been working hard.
Is that what it means?
Yeah.
I mean, it could just mean that he's a loafer and lives in his mom's basement. They don't have a lot of sunlight down there.
No, it's just he's very busy. He's got a lot going on. Probably very successful.
Oh, yeah.
He's chasing his dreams.
Amazing, right.
Yeah, just a couple bags under the eyes. I'm all right with that. Michael, what's the unconventional thing you're attracted to?
When my wife does yard work, I don't know. There's something about just the fact that, like, you know, she's kind of dirty and she's just pulling up stuff and, you know, she's just kind of sweaty. Like, it's great. It's great.
It's also a chore or two off your list, which is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It yeah, works. My least favorite, too. Right? Yeah.
It's working both my emotional and physical aspects there. Yeah. No, I get it.
Heather, what's something unconventional that you're attracted to?
I really like guys in glasses. I know that a lot of people really like to wear contacts or they don't want to wear them because they think they look stupid, but I really like it when guys wear glasses. I think it's really confident. I think it shows that they like to take care of themselves and like it shows a lot of their style. So like there's a lot that can go into a pair of glasses and I just really dig it.
And poor vision.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's that crazy. I mean, there's whole websites devoted to hot librarians.
Really? So, oh, because of the glasses?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think it's that crazy, right? Are you about to Google hot librarians?
No, I'm going to Google, is there
because it's going to get naughty. But you know what? Glasses. I just got to know, so is it like all guys in glasses? Like, does it matter the thickness of the glasses, right? Because if the lens is so thick that if a regular person put that in front of their eyes, they could actually see what was happening right now on the International Space Station. If it's like that, like, you know, they put them down on a counter and burns a hole through a wall, is it still sexy?
Well, you know how they say you can't judge a book by its cover. Maybe they're just more sensitive.
If you Google glasses fetish, here's the questions that pop up on Google. Can you hit on a guy wearing glasses?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's number one question being asked.
Good thing the internet's there to answer that for us.
Can you kiss a girl with glasses?
Mm.
No.
Also want to click on that one, find out what the results are for that.
But it says that the reason why so many people have glasses fetishes is because it accentuates the eyes and it makes your eyes look bigger and people are attracted to that.
I am fearful of anything you Google involving the word fetish.
True.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just have to decide who's right. Brooke and Fred. Fred, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
Well, I've been working a corporate job, I'll leave the name out for legal purposes, for about 7 years, and I won't lie to you, I hate it. I absolutely hate it, and I don't want to be part of that company anymore. To be honest with you, I kind of want to switch careers, so I've been reading a lot about quiet quitting. That's been the new thing going on via social media. And I have started to purposely go in late to work. I have been not finishing projects. And I've been just honestly keeping really slow with all this because I know that if I get fired, I will get an amazing severance package. So what's the point of me trying to do my best when I'm not getting treated as my best could be? So I have been actively joining the quiet quitting crowd and looking forward to seeing what happens.
Brooke, I am imagining that you have some strong feelings. I can already hear you breathing. So go ahead and just tell us your opinion on this. What's going on?
I honestly just think it's so immature, and I think it's just not a very smart move. I mean, it's work. There are a few people who love what they do, but like, it is work. There's a reason it's called work. And I just think it's completely irresponsible to just quit do everything possible, quietly quit, that you're fired. I mean, he doesn't even have any backups. Like, there's no, if he was like looking for another job and interviewing and like this was like a sideline tactic and there was this whole strategy behind it, I think I could get behind it a little bit more, but it's just irresponsible.
Okay, Brooke.
Yeah. It's not a plan.
I mean, I get, obviously, Brooke, it sounds like it definitely rubs you the wrong way, and I think that you would not be alone. I think it rubs a lot of people the wrong way. On the other hand,
yeah,
I think there's a lot more strategy to it than you're actually thinking. I mean, the fact that he gets the severance if he's let go and he gets to collect. If he quits, he doesn't get to collect. He gets the severance and then, you know, basically that's it. And not for nothing, this is kind of the way the game is played nowadays, Anna. Right?
Is it?
It is for many people. If you knew you were going to be sitting out, keeping yourself in line with your benefits, because you'll still be able to have health insurance too if he's collecting and all those things, it's clearly the smarter way than just throwing up his hands and saying, I'm out. Fred, every part of me morally feels like what you're doing is wrong. But sometimes the best move is the painful one. You know, financially, he's making a smart move. If he doesn't know where he's going, he's got to figure out where he's going. This gives him time.
I don't like it. You don't like your job? Go find another job and then just give your 2 weeks notice and be an adult. But maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Fred says he's not like actively trying to get fired. He's just quiet quitting. No, you're actively trying to get fired. He shows up late to work. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. He says this is how it works in corporate America. You get fired, so you get the severance package, and then you can take some time off and then find yourself a new job.
Listen, I understand it feels wrong, and it must be hard for Brooke to deal with. I mean, think about it. Your partner is going to work every day, and they're doing their best, right? And then they come back, and you just whine and talk about the things that you're doing to try to get let go of your job. It's not pleasant. On the other hand, is it the best plan for what he's doing and what he wants to do in the future? Which is, by the way, he doesn't have an answer for right now.
Well, he says,
just wants the time to figure it out.
Yeah, he says this is how corporate America works.
Right.
It's like you kind of just stop working and then they fire you and you get all this money. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Sherry, whose side are you on?
I am on the life side because really what he's doing is not even quietly quitting because the actual definition is just doing the bare minimum of your job. It's not underperforming and being a slacker. It's just not going above and beyond. But he's setting himself up for failure because he's going to get fired and that's not going to look good for future employment. And it's just a spineless way to go about it, I think.
The jellyfish.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. seems like the new trendy words or phrase, I guess I should say, quiet quitting. You keep reading about it everywhere. People are quiet quitting their job, just doing the minimum to get by. And that's exactly what Fred says he's doing. He's doing the minimum, showing up late, and he's kind of trying to get fired because he wants to collect the severance. He says that's how it works in corporate America. He wants to take the time off and just get that money and figure out what's next.
I don't know if it's any different, white collar to blue collar, but I know a lot of people feel like, listen, if you're not hustling, you're in danger of losing your job and you're thinking about your next job. Sooner or later, though, you get to certain locations and you realize, like, that's not always the case. For Fred, it might make more sense. Hold on to his benefits, get that severance you mentioned, instead of just collecting. He says he doesn't know what he wants to do next. Brooke says that is terrible and unacceptable.
Yeah, imagine you're Fred's wife, Brooke, and you're like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're just not working hard anymore and you want to get fired?
Yeah.
Like, she thinks the whole thing is just morally wrong. And truthfully, I agree with her. Find another job and leave your job. Like, I don't understand this, oh, I'm going to collect my severance and just get, like, you know, 6 months off or whatever it is.
Standing next to somebody in a partnership and they're doing that? Would be tough for the other person to swallow.
But is that what corporate America is now, when you want to get rid of your job and collect a severance? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Scott, whose side are you on?
I'm on Frank's side. So the reason why I'm on Frank's side is because he's working for a big corporation, and a lot of problems with those big corporations is they don't care about their employees and expect them to go above and beyond, and eventually you just get burnt out and you don't want to do anything anymore. So I understand where he's coming from, because if you work for one of those big corporations and you're putting all in it and you're not getting recognized, why should I keep trying then? I kind of agree that maybe the bare minimum, but if he's tired of trying, then yeah, he should just wait until he gets fired, get a severance package, and figure out what he wants to do.
Emily, whose side are you on?
I think I'm on the wife's side, because that really isn't defined as quiet quitting. Quiet quitting is simply saying no. Maybe get five instead of doing hours you're not paid for. Quiet quitting really means you're not letting yourself be taken advantage by your employer.
Okay, this sounds, is, yeah, this sounds like you up. Might be quiet quitting right now.
Yeah.
It sounds like you endorse the quiet quit.
Hey, Darlene, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife side. You know, it's funny. I just read an article this morning about all this stuff. And the husband needs to understand these Facebook groups are not his friends and they are not going to pay their bills. We now have this society that wants to take the easy way out, and instead of changing the culture or starting their own businesses, it's just beyond bizarre.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Brooke, our audience agreed with you. Fred, it's irresponsible. It's not right. Find yourself another job if you don't like the job you're at. But basically, quiet quitting and just saying you're not doing your responsibilities because knowing you're going to get a severance package is childish.
Well, babe, what do you think?
I'm going to politely agree to disagree. I mean, I understand where they're coming from, because, you know, earlier I said I did agree morally that, yeah, I do kind of feel like I'm copping out a little bit. But at the same time, it just gives me time to be able to think of what I want to do.
I think everybody likes to state what it is that they would do. And they know that, you know, what they believe is right is what they would want to do. But I think a lot more people voting against you or slagging against you or whatever today, they would actually do what you're doing. I do.
I think they would, too, honestly.
If they were in your shoes, they do. Doesn't mean I like it, but I think they would.
Yep.
And, Brooke, you got to be happy to hear that.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, like, well, it just feels nice to know that I'm justified, that I'm not insane. I feel like we've been in this argument for a while now, and I start to feel like maybe I'm, like, wrong. I'm happy to know that everybody else is agreeing with me.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,600 thanks to DoorDash. With DoorDash, you can order it all. Use the app or shop online at DoorDash.com with promo code ORDER22 for 50% off your first order. Get more from your neighborhood with DoorDash. Okay, Samantha, you ready to play?
I'm ready, yes.
Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure, good luck, Samantha.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, The Handmaid's Tale was renewed for a sixth and final season. What color do the handmaids wear?
Red.
Number two, director Quentin Tarantino and Miramax have settled their lawsuit over Pulp Fiction's NFTs. What does NFT stand for?
Oh, no.
That's time. No, that's okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Number three, New York Fashion Week has arrived. And last night, what designer took the stage that became hugely popular in the 90s for teaming up with hip-hop stars like Aaliyah, Lenny Kravitz, Snoop Dogg? His logo is red, white, and blue rectangle with his name.
I don't know. Oh,
number four, that's okay. Reportedly, Queen Elizabeth's dogs will go to Prince Andrew and Sarah. They have two daughters. Name one of their daughters.
I believe Eugene.
And number five, Beyonce threw a huge 41st birthday party, and stars like the Kardashians, Drake, Lizzo, Machine Gun Kelly, Megan Fox, Adele were all there. What are the Beyonce fans called?
I don't know. Oh, no.
That was not beautiful, Samantha, but that's okay.
Yo.
2 out of 5 for Samantha.
Not great. $1,600. Let's see how I do.
Number one, The Handmaid's Tale was renewed for a 6th and final season. What color do the handmaids wear?
They wear red.
Yes. Number two, director Quentin Tarantino and Miramax have settled their lawsuit over Pulp Fiction, over the Pulp Fiction NFTs. What does NFT stand for?
Non-fungible token.
Yes. Number three, New York Fashion Week has arrived. And last night, what designer took the stage that became hugely popular in the 90s for teaming up with hip-hop stars like Aaliyah, Lenny Kravitz, Snoop Dogg? His logo is red, white, and blue rectangle with his name.
Oh, Tommy Hilfiger?
Yes. Yeah. Number four, reportedly, Queen Elizabeth's dogs will go to Prince Andrew and Sarah. They have two daughters. Name one of them.
Beatrice?
Yep, Beatrice, yeah. And Eugene. Woo! Yep. And number five, Beyonce threw a huge 41st birthday party, and stars like the Kardashians, Drake, Lizzo, Machine Gun Kelly, Megan Fox, Adele, everybody was there. What are the Beyonce fans called?
The Beehive.
That's right. I'm sorry, Samantha, he beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right, I'm Samantha, and I can't be Raven.
Well, better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,700 tomorrow, Anna.
And if you missed it earlier today, we had the first kids beat Raven, and Raven went down big time. Centia beat Raven 3-1, won herself a $100 Target gift card. If you think you have kids that can take Raven down, you can sign them up too at annaandraven.com.